Welcome to another episode of the Paseo Pathway Podcast. We are back to discuss week three of our reading plan for 2026. We are well on our way through Genesis this week. We've been reading about Jacob and Esau and Joseph and Judah. So it's fun to read those stories. We're also in the Gospel of Matthew. And today we're going to focus on a passage from Matthew, the parable of the sower. But how's it going for you, Shelton? What do you think about the reading plan so far?
I've enjoyed it. And every time I sit down, I just enjoy the idea that, man, so many people that I love at Paseo are doing the same thing. And we're journeying together through this. I know some of you are on it. In 3 weeks, you're doing great. Some of you might feel like you're falling off a little bit. That's okay. My encouragement to you would be, hey, just carve out some time, catch up in your reading, walk along. But the habit, that daily practice or the weekly practice, hey, I'm going to be in the Word, is so huge in life. So I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed the finding my rhythm of how this is going to look for me this year. And it's been good. It's been good. I like, we were talking beforehand, just we try to always give some tips as folks, and we have those. And you are a man that loves your acronyms.
I do. I'm a simple man. I need the acronyms to keep me on track.
I like it. So you have an acronym purpose to help us in our reading too. So why don't you give us our tip for the day to read with purpose.
And for those of you who have the reading plan, this is on page one. You can kind of see the breakdown of what we're talking about here. But purpose is really a method to dial in or try to listen better, but also to invite the Holy Spirit to teach you. And so it stands for pray, read, reflect, pray, and then share.
So that's purpose.
It's sort of like, we removed the vowels, which is a very biblical thing to do, I guess. But what we mean by this is, before I start reading, I will say a simple prayer. And it can be a scripture, such as, Lord, I'm drawing near to you. Would you draw near to me? Would you help me to understand what I'm about to read? So a very short prayer. Or it could be, one of my favorite prayers recently has been, Lord, would you open my eyes to see, open my mind to understand, enlarge my heart to receive, and strengthen my will to obey the truth that I'm about to read.
That's very fitting for our parable today that we're going to study.
Yes.
So I like that prayer.
So it's not a long prayer. We start with prayer, and it's simply praying and asking the Lord to meet you and to guide you as you read. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, you read. That's pretty straightforward. As you read, though, I would encourage folks to highlight or underline things that stand out to you, because the next thing you want to do is reflect. You want to go back and just examine what it is that you underlined, and then again, pray and ask God, what is it that you want me to do from what I've read and marked today? And then I would encourage you to share with one person something that you read.
Why do you like us to do that? Yeah, we've done a different podcast on this, on the Into the Harvest podcast, and I like your point on this. Why do you think it's important to share?
Yes, well, I think it's Jesus actually teaches on this, and it's not the parable we're looking at today, but he does basically say, in Matthew 10, he says, what you have heard whisper, proclaim from the rooftops, freely you receive, freely give. So the idea of Jesus is speaking to us, but he also wants to speak through us. But more practically, if I get to the end of my day and I've done my Bible reading, but I haven't shared it with anyone, I will often have a hard time remembering what I even read. And whereas if I had a conversation with one person about something from that reading, I will remember the conversation. So it's a bit of a memory hack to help us hang on to what we've read. So hopefully it's going to be a blessing to whoever you share with, but it's also going to be something that helps you retain and hang on to what you've learned. So
I think that's part of the cool thing of doing it as a church, right? You can have a conversation with somebody else. Like Will off camera and I were just chatting about what we were reading today, and that's cool. So we can bounce things off, and it helps you remember it. It's good stuff. Well, let's get into it. It's hard because we're reading so much, and yes. And there's some really great stuff in here, but we got to narrow it down and kind of highlight a main passage from our reading. And so we chose the parable of the sower, Matthew 13, and it is a famous parable. I love it. Actually, in undergrad, I did a class on the Sermon on the Mount, and we were learning how to, and then at the end of that, I had to write a paper, and it had to be a different passage in Matthew, and I did my paper on the sermon, on the parable of the sower, and it became a favorite of mine in so many ways, as it can helped informed for me ministry, and I think that's what's going on here. But let's start first with, this is a parable.
Yes.
And parables are different than other teachings. Like when you're talking about the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus says, you have heard it say, but I tell you, that's pretty plain, pretty clear, yes. Right?
Yeah.
Here is a parable, and he's using a story. And sometimes we get confused of Jesus' parable, and his disciples were like, why do you teach him parables? So if we are going to study the words of Jesus, we need to understand a parable. And you had some cool insights, and I liked them on what a parable is, how we should approach it. And so why don't you share with us kind of your thoughts around a parable?
Right. So I did a little bit of research on the word parable itself, and it comes from a Greek term. I don't know how you say this, but parabole.
Yeah.
Which literally means a placing beside or a comparison. It's so it's to throw something alongside,
yeah.
But really it's to take something from our earthly world that helps parallel and shed light on a spiritual truth or a heavenly truth.
Yeah.
So it's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning.
Yeah.
And that's what Jesus is doing in all of his parables. He's giving us normal everyday events and circumstances, but they're all pointing us to a deeper spiritual truth.
My wife and I were having a conversation, and I found this interesting. She said, I like, Shelton, when you use stories in your sermon because it helps me remember your sermon better.
Hmm.
She's like, if it's just all just explanation,
yes. Right.
She said, I like it in the moment, but it's hard to remember throughout the week. But I'll remember, oh, yeah, he said that about the cruise ship. It's like a metaphor I used this
yes.
week. And it calls her to remember all that. And I think it's part of the brilliance of Jesus' teachings as well, is he uses these stories. And we can just start calling out parables, and we'll remember them.
Right.
That's a story that I remember. And so there's a brilliance to this, that he is not just explaining the kingdom outright,
mm-hmm.
but he gives us ways to better understand it, laying aside, but also to implant it within us, because our memories will
right.
hold on to stories, and I like that. But sometimes when we approach a parable, we can get into the weeds a little bit, because
yeah.
parables are stories, and it's always helpful to remember that Jesus really probably has one main big point
right.
to the parable. Like, there is a main big issue that he's trying to explain in that. We can get into this, well, what, as you talk about, you know, what is the sun? What are the weeds? What are the, and we can get into mm-hmm. spiritualizing every little element of a parable. And in doing that, sometimes we can understand things that are not what Jesus was trying to teach. And so I think we have to back up. And there are going to be some characters in a story. Like, if you got a father figure, this past week we were doing the parable of the vineyard owner that was clearly God in that story. And so there are times to do that. We're going to do that here. But typically a great thing to do, it is probably pretty simple. What is the very clear thing this parable is teaching?
Yeah, so right. we talk about this a lot of times with just ways of trying to understand the Bible.
Yeah.
And so we always start with, why was this story told?
Yeah.
What was it that Jesus was trying to get at? And with parables, like you said, there's usually one major
yeah.
idea or
yeah.
theme or application that Jesus is calling us to. And there may be 10 different details in the parable, but we don't want to get lost in the details. We want to discover, well, why was Jesus telling this parable? What was the big takeaway? And oftentimes that will come towards the end of the parable.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus will kind of pull it all together, and sometimes he'll even explain it, which we saw later in chapter 13.
And there's two parables here that he explains.
Yes.
And,
yes.
and that's actually unique in his parable teachings.
Right.
He doesn't always do that. And so
right.
these are unique, but I think it's helpful here. Because he's trying to teach his disciples how to listen and to learn.
Yeah.
Now you said, and I think this is also important, parables exist within a context.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's always important, like we do any scripture reading, to understand what comes before
right.
and what comes afterwards. So
yeah.
with the parable of the sower, there's something huge that's happening here. So this is Matthew 13, but in Matthew 12, Jesus has just revealed that he is the Son of Man.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he is using mm-hmm. that title, which is a loaded title. If you've
right.
been with us in our Matthew series, that is an Old Testament title coming out of Daniel for the Messiah. And he is doing miracles, and he is teaching. And the Pharisees come who were supposed to be, and there's crowds, there's people hearing Jesus teach, right. And the Pharisees are supposed to be those that are teachers themselves. And they called Jesus Beelzebul. They call him Satan. They watch Jesus actually, so they with their eyes, they observe Jesus heal a demon-possessed man. And the crowd says, wow, he must be from God. And the Pharisees say, oh, he's got to be from Satan. And so there's this is the context going into it. And then at the end of that, Jesus' family shows up. Jesus goes into the house and his family shows up. And they're wanting to try to get Jesus because he's causing a stir.
Right.
And Jesus tells his disciples, no, my family are the ones that do the will of the Father. And so that's important. That's important language we want to hold on to. That ends chapter 12. Chapter 13 begins with the words, on that same day, Jesus goes out. And so this is a continuation of Jesus teaching his disciples. So this is just good Bible study skills. Pay attention to the linking words. And sometimes we have a tendency to not connect one chapter to the chapter before.
Right.
And we treat a chapter like it's a new beginning. But it's not. And in the original context, there were no chapters and verses. And so this is meant to be kind of read through there. So it's on the same day. All of that where folks were wondering, is he the Son of Man? Is that? And some folks believed it. Some didn't. The Pharisees were asking for a sign. And Jesus says, as if the healings and the teaching were enough, he says, you'll get the sign of Jonah, and that's it, meaning the resurrection. There's a lot going into that. And so now he gets to his disciples. And I think the parable of the sower simply is to help them understand why some folks believe and some folks don't. They're all seeing and hearing the exact same thing.
Yeah.
And there are some that are following Jesus to worship him, and there are some ready to stone Jesus to kill him. And he is helping the disciples understand the reality of the kingdom here in this world. So that's the context of why Jesus is teaching. And now let's get into the actual parable itself.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great connection, that little phrase of on that same day. So, I mean, I love that. And it's just an example of trying to really pay attention as we're reading. That's one of those details that will really help us. If we think about what we're going to look at today, which is verses 1 through 23, we could kind of divide those 23 verses into three chunks, right? So there's chunk one, which is the actual parable. Jesus is telling this story. And he's talking about a sower, and the sower is going out with seed. And as he's sowing, the seed falls on four different types of soil.
Maybe we got to pause and just say farming practices were very different back then, right? So they didn't plow. Their understanding of how farming works was very different. So actually, in Africa, this still sowing, this farming practice is still used. Right, and so you can tell the difference. So it's very interesting. So he's not being negligent. This would have made sense. This would have been something that those disciples would have all seen. They're like, yeah, you go out in the field, and that's how you sow.
The only time I've seen this in America is someone seeding their yard. It's called broadcast sowing. And you could have a bag, and you could just grab a handful of grass seed, and then you're just gonna kind of toss it, and you're just shaking it out. Throwing it every which way. Some of that may land on the sidewalk. But most of it you're trying to get into
That's a great example.
The soil.
Over on the roots or whatnot of the tree.
Right.
It's not going to grow over there. Yeah, that's a great example.
So chunk one is the story. And we've got these four soils that Jesus highlights. We'll come back to those. Chunk two, the disciples come to Jesus afterwards. So he's telling the story to everyone, the crowds. Then in the second part of these verses, the disciples come to him and ask, why are you teaching them in parables? And this is verses 10 through 17. And then we could say chunk three is Jesus explaining the parable itself. So based on that, we're going to kind of skip chunk two for now. We're just going to talk about chunks one and three.
Although I think chunk two is interesting.
We're going to come back to it.
Okay, good.
We're going to come back to it for sure. So let's just talk about the story itself and Jesus's explanation of it. What are some of the insights that you draw from that?
Well, as a pastor who stands to preach every week, there's a simple word here that I love. He went out to sow his seed, meaning he's going out and he's broadcasting it out. And you just get this picture, and I always feel the conviction. And he will explain it later on that it's good seed. Like this represents...
So the problem's not the seed.
The problem's not the seed. And I think that's very important. So to me, it always stands out of hey, the seed is going to fall on different types of people, and it only takes root in a quarter of them. Right. I mean, it takes root, I take that back, it takes root in three quarters of them, but it only produces a harvest.
Right.
And it comes to full fruition in a quarter of them.
Right.
Which is very interesting. So you have some, it never takes root at all. Mm-hmm. Right? Like they want no part of it.
Right.
And we can all relate to that. We've seen folks who want no part of Jesus at all. And yeah. So hard soil is not. You have others that, man, yeah, they receive it. Sounds great. But it's they're shallow, right? And and the heat comes down. They never put down deep roots. They never did the work of growing deeper and deeper. They liked it on a surface level. Mm-hmm. And we see those a lot. And then they fall away. So that's another thing. You have another type of soil that, man, they receive it. Sounds good. But then weeds grow up all around it, and it chokes it off, right? Like they, yeah. So, you know, there's a variety of different, what does Jesus call the weeds? Worries.
Yeah, worries, concerns, desire for riches and
yeah,
other things.
Yeah, he gives explanation to it. So the world stuff.
Right.
And man, that always kind of hits at home. Because yeah. I think about when I am not doing well, like what is choking me up.
Yeah.
But then you have the good soil. And he just quickly touches on the good soil. But the good soil has a distinct characteristic. I liked how you described the good soil earlier as... Yeah. In terms of harvest. You want to share your thoughts on that?
Yeah. So one question that Sheldon and I were talking about off camera was just, why do we call this the parable of the sower as opposed to the parable of the soils or the parable of the seed? Jesus himself called it the parable
of the
sower.
That's pretty cool, right?
So
that gives us insight of what he's thinking.
So he's thinking of this story from the perspective of the sower. And so I think this is helpful for us to as we grapple with this. If you think of a sower who's going out with his bag of seed and he's casting it every which way, what is he desiring to see happen? Well, he wants a crop. He wants a harvest. Yeah. That's why he's going out there. Yeah. And so we kind of played out this scenario where if you had walked along the road where the sower had cast his seed and you saw these four different soils the day after the sower had cast his seed, they would look a certain way, and you could take a photo of the path and the rocky soil, the thorns, and the good soil, and they would all look one way. But if you came back 4 months later and you looked at those four different areas, three of them would look the same. The path would still be a path, the rocky soil would still be rocky, the thorns would still be thorns, but then that fourth plot of ground, you would see a dramatic change. You would see this harvest.
Yeah.
I think that's what Jesus is getting at, is that I am teaching you, I'm giving you truth from the Father about his kingdom, but I'm doing so because I want it to transform your life. And it's not going to happen overnight, but it should be the kind of change that is noticeable over time and is transforming your life and bringing life out of it. So that's just one.
I love it. And I think this is ministry preparation.
With the disciples.
With the disciples. I think he's preparing them for ministry.
Right.
Because he's going to be gone, and they're going to be preaching the gospel, and they're going to be frustrated because there's not going to be a huge harvest right away. In fact, many will be antagonistic towards it, and it's not going to land, and they're going to be frustrated. Later on in the chapter, he gives the parable of the mustard seed, of saying, hey, it's going to start small. Like, give it time.
Yes.
And so we see that same growth here of, hey, a harvest is going to come that's 100, 60, 30 times what was sown. And I think he's preparing them. And I got to tell you that as a preacher, I find this parable both comforting and saddening at the same time in a weird way. So I find it comforting because it just, my responsibility, and this is the same whenever you're sharing the gospel, whoever that is. Whoever's listening, your responsibility is just to share the gospel.
Right.
Sow the seed. Make sure you're sowing accurate, good seed. Just tell people about Jesus. The results of that are not on me, and they're not on you. That's on the soils, right? And it's not always going to land. Instead of beating myself up that not everybody's accepting or not everybody's growing, Jesus, and I think that's what he's doing for the disciples, is preparing their hearts. And so there's a comfort of that, is saying the results belong to the Lord.
Yes.
Like the sower, you go sow your seeds.
Right. Right?
I find it saddening mm-hmm. Because I know specific folk and have watched folk that I thought, and you begin seeing growth mm-hmm. and you're excited about that.
Right.
And then you see the worries of the world, you see some temptations, or you see a shallow, and you see yeah. them dying off.
Right.
And that saddens me. But then as a preacher, as an individual, I find it convicting.
Yes.
I find it convicting.
I think that this story, I love that distinction, because this story has implications for me as a follower of Jesus.
Yes.
So I need to be mindful of enduring through suffering. That's the heat, the yeah. rocky soil. Yeah. I need to check my heart and my priorities in life
yeah.
to see if the thorns are crowding out what yeah. God's wanting to yeah. do in my life. And then if I'm not understanding the scriptures, do I have enough curiosity to seek out understanding and a deeper? So yes, there's immediate implications for me personally, but yeah. then you're right, as a witness for Jesus, as an ambassador for Jesus, it's comforting to know yeah. that I share the truth, and something happens between that seed
yeah.
and the person's heart and God that's yeah. outside of my control.
Yeah, and I like your last distinction there when you were talking about, hey, if I don't understand it, I need to come to it, because that leads us to the second section.
That's right. That's right.
And it's just kind of funny, because then they're actually kind of accusing Jesus.
Yeah.
They're coming with an accusation of, basically they're saying, man, if you wouldn't teach in parables,
right,
they would probably understand better.
Right.
That's their underlying accusation. He's like, why are you teaching?
It's kind of interesting. Here they ask Jesus, why do you teach the crowds in parables? Later, with the parable of the wheat and the weeds,
yeah.
they ask him, explain the parable to us. So
yeah, yeah.
I think
they grew a little bit.
Yeah, they got the answer here, but why are you doing this? So, and this actually touches on one of the questions that we had about our reading this week.
Yeah.
One of them was about the parable of the sower.
Yeah.
And the question had to do with, do we have agency to have, when Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear, is that within our control, or are some people just fated to not understand? Especially with, I think, the seed that fell on the roadside, it says they didn't understand, the evil one comes and takes it away. Mm-hmm. What is our part in this, and how do you see that?
Man, I don't want to get into the mystery of predestination and all all of that, and that's not necessarily, I think, what he's asking.
Yeah.
But I do like what, and let's answer scripture with scripture, because Jesus gives mm-hmm. an actual explanation here. Verse 15, he says, for this people's heart has become calloused. So it wasn't calloused before, but it's become right. hardened. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Mm-hmm. And so Jesus, I think, is giving explanation to the disciples about what they're watching with the Pharisees, of saying, those guys
yeah.
have hardened their hearts. They have eyes to see. They right. saw the same miracle you just saw. You are worshiping.
Yeah.
They're accusing. They've chosen yeah. to close their eyes. They've chosen. And we all know that feeling of, hey, I feel the conviction of God, and there's like a la 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 la, I don't want to have to change,
yes.
I don't want to have to confess, I don't want to step into that light. That's hardening your heart.
Yeah, that's closing my eyes.
That is closing my yes. eyes. We buy into it's easier not to recognize mm-hmm. it, because all of what that's going to do if
right.
I say yes to that,
right,
or say no to that, you know, whatever that yeah. is. And so scripture says, today, if you hear the voice of God, do not harden your heart.
Right.
Like, that is straight out of Hebrews, that's out of Psalms, that's the accusation against the Israelites of what they do mm-hmm. in Exodus when they are in the desert. They harden their hearts. Mm. So I would say, yes, we have agency to choose not to listen and harden our hearts, because that comes right. from Scripture. That's the calling
right.
of, today if you hear it, listen.
Right.
Now the question would be, if somebody has hardened their hearts and they're not listening,
mm-hmm.
they haven't seen, can they eventually see?
Mm.
Can something happen?
Right.
And I would say, I hope so.
Right.
Like,
right.
That is our story of all of us, that eventually,
yes.
through the work of God and His revelation, we suddenly have given eyes to see. I think yeah. of the story of Paul.
Yes, I did too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Of, I mean, he talking about.
Right.
He was one of these Pharisees, right? And,
right. I mean, there came a moment. I think what you mentioned there, the passage out of Hebrews. today, if you hear his voice, and I think that's the significance, is that if we are in a place where God is convicting us and we've begun to sense that there's some truth here that I need to lean into, that is a critical moment for us to say, am I going to lean into it, or am I going to withdraw, which is very easy for us to do. So the Lord appears to Saul on the road to Damascus, and he leans in. He responds to that in faith.
And here is a wrestling question, and we can stand here. Is it a guarantee that you will hear God's voice and conviction again?
Right.
That's a scary question to ask.
Yeah.
In Romans 1, because they hardened their heart, it says they knew God and they didn't glorify him. They have come to harden their hearts.
Right.
They wanted to run after their own passions. It says then God gave them over to their desires. Said, fine, go.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was an example of his wrath being shown.
Yes.
And it is not a guarantee, either A, and we talked about this in church on Sunday, that you will even have a tomorrow to respond.
Right.
And because either you don't know if you're going to live tomorrow, mm-hmm. and you also don't know if God is going to graciously reveal himself to you again.
Right.
And I think we just take it for granted of. And so this is worth, and I think that's the point of these parables. It's the point of their asking. Jesus says that certain people, he's teaching in parables, mm-hmm. Because certain people are going to go, what does that mean? And they want to know more.
Right.
Because they have had ears to hear
yes.
that, hey, that's Jesus talking.
Right.
And they have eyes to see that's Jesus talking, and I want to know more of what Jesus is. And then you have others going, what's that carpenter saying? I'm out of here.
I like how Jesus responds when they first ask him, why do you teach in parables? He says, because the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given for you to know, but it has not been given to them. Mm. And I don't think that's because the disciples were so special. I think it's because they came and asked. I think anyone who would have come to Jesus, in fact, in Mark's version of this, it makes a distinction that the 12 and others came and asked him the interpretation. And he explained the interpretation to anyone who had that curiosity. In Luke's version of this, in Luke 8, this version of the parable of the sower, he follows it up by saying, be careful how you listen. Mm. For to the one who has, more will be given, but to the one who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And the point there is, be careful how you listen. As we're going through the scriptures, do we have that heart to ask for further guidance, further insights? That's a big reason why we're doing the reading plan. I do think we're going to get into Luke's gospel here in a few months. And
we'll revisit the story later on.
Yeah, we will. And there's a similar one in Luke 19 that that talks about the parable of the vineyard where the landowner doesn't find fruit, and he says to cut it down, and then he comes back and says, hey, give it another year, give it another year.
Yeah.
But eventually, we run out of time. So to your point of, do we get another chance?
Yes.
Hopefully. But you never know. At some point, there is the last chance where God's been trying to speak to us, and if we resist him, then it doesn't end well. So.
But if you're awake today,
Today, if you hear his voice.
Today, if you're awake today, it's all we can do. So I don't want people questioning of, I think I've messed up too long. God's not going to talk to me. If you're listening to this and you feel that conviction,
amen.
That's the word of the Lord today. So do not harden your hearts. Hey, I think we've run out of time.
Yeah.
I do want to answer one question.
Okay.
Okay, so an auntie in the church gave me a question, and she wanted to know why I have bad posture on the podcast.
Oh, boy.
She told me that I need to sit up.
These are the deep questions.
Or that she said you had good posture.
I feel like I have terrible posture.
And she said I was slouched over. So she's worried. Now, granted, she's sweet. And she said, I think it's your chair. I think you need a more comfortable chair.
Well, these are identical chairs. So thank you, Auntie. I will take the credit for good posture. I don't think I have that.
So all podcast long, man. I'm trying my hardest to sit up. So love that, Auntie. I love that. And the answer is just because I slouch and I get into it. But
well, as far as questions, we do appreciate you guys sending them to us. The easiest way, we had a lot of questions that we weren't able to get to. But if you want to leave your question in the comments on the YouTube channel, then we can pull from those, but we could also respond to those in the comments. So that would be my first suggestion is leave comments on the YouTube video, but you can also email them to me and we will work as many of those as we can into the podcast. Any last words?
Hey, love you. Love that we get to do this together. Thank you for this. I was having this thought earlier that when I first began ministry, we would have like Wednesday night church. Mm-hmm. It was like this midweek. And this kind of feels like that, like a midweek. We can all touch base together on journey together. So yeah. I love this. I would love this forum. Hopefully wherever this finds you, may it encourage you in your walk. And we'll see you next week.